My name is Jessie Ace. I'm part of a group of enabled warriors that you've probably never heard of. We're fighting back against our invisible illness and taking the dis out of disability. We don't give sympathy to our symptoms. They enable us to be the warrior that we are. If you ask doctors and nurses, they'd say what we're doing is impossible. But pushing the limits of our conditions is something that we have to break through every single day. We push the limits. We are mentally strong. We can do anything. The question is, how far can we push those limits? This podcast will give you the answers. I'm Jessie Ace, and this is the Disabled to Enabled podcast. Welcome back to part two of our interview with today's guest. We've just spoken about their diagnosis. If you missed it, make sure to go back and have a listen. In this section, we'll have a chat about the amazing things that today's guest has done since their diagnosis. So hey, and welcome back. So tell us about your journey with advocacy, because you mentioned starting an Instagram page as firstly, like as a way to connect with people, and then you started a blog after that. So tell us about both of those things.
So the Instagram is kind of a funny story in a way, because I was early to a medical appointment. So I was sat in a little cafe around the corner from the hospital, and they had all these magazines on the side, and I was just flicking through them. And there was an article about migraine, and there was a little bit from someone who had an Instagram page, and she was talking about her Instagram, and sort of a light bulb went off in my head, and I was like, oh, I had no idea that there was people who talked about medical conditions on Instagram. And I hadn't even downloaded the Instagram app at that point. Like, I was late to the party with social media. And so I downloaded the app and I looked up this girl and was then like, oh my goodness, there's this whole world, like, on your phone of people who are being supportive and helping you find resources and being like really celebrating like your good moments and your more difficult ones. And it really was like a world opened up to me. So I made my own account, and I did it silently. Like, I was one of those people that for ages, like, I didn't comment on anything, I didn't post my own things, I didn't DM anybody. I was just kind of like watching what was going on and like looking at other people's accounts and their posts, and then sort of became a bit brave and posted a few of myself or for myself. And my whole thing was, I'd just like to know maybe 10 or 20 people who have similar conditions to me or the same, and just sort of kind of get to be friends with a few people who would understand. And it kind of, that was what it was for a bit. And then I realized that it's such a powerful tool. And I think it's so important to helping raise awareness, helping raise recognition of more rare conditions that people haven't heard of. And so I was posting a bit more and more, and then, you know, kind of my following grew and I followed more and more people, and I realized how important it was, not just in terms of kind of giving information, but in terms of making people feel less alone. Because I have so many DMs or comments on posts that say, I've had this condition for years and I've been too scared to talk about it to anybody, and this is the first time that I've admitted anywhere that I've got it. And admitted is really a hard thing, you know, that's a hard word, because then it comes with like feeling guilty or feeling ashamed of your condition, and none of us should feel ashamed or of our conditions, but I think many of us do to begin with. And I've found that talking on Instagram, or, you know, obviously there are lots of other platforms like Facebook and Twitter, it's really helped me and helped other people to overcome that idea that I think a lot of us have of like, oh, I'm weird. I remember saying to my mum, oh, I'm a freak. Like, my body's abnormal. I'm a freak. I'm not, you know, And that's just such a negative thing and so harmful. And opening up the conversation and knowing that other people have the exact same condition as you and have the same symptoms and the same difficulties and the same challenges is just so powerful. And I think it really helps people feel less alone. And I think it also, from what people have said to me, is that it then enables them to talk a little bit more to their friends and family about it, and also to have different conversations with their doctors, because they go away and maybe research it a little bit more, and then they find information about certain treatments. So they can then go to their doctor and say, well, what about this? Would this be helpful for me? And perhaps they advocate for themselves a little bit more, because they don't feel like they're the only one in the world. And I think so many of us think, oh, I'm the only person that this is happening to. And of course, that's not true. There's thousands or millions in the same condition, in the same position.
Yeah, it's so true. So true. And even when, you know, you meet somebody else and maybe they don't have the exact same condition, like a lot of the symptoms do overlap anyway, you still kind of get the same issues around, you know, those kind of things. You know, you still get people saying to you, oh, you don't look ill, and all that sort of stuff. Oh,
that's such a compliment. But you look fine.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, I'm tired too. Oh my God, that gets me. Sure you are, Linda.
I think my bugbear one is when you say, oh, I had a migraine yesterday, and they go, oh yeah, I had a bit of a headache too.
They kind of really down. Yeah,
it's not the same thing.
No, and it's hard. It is. So tell us a little bit about your blog before we kind of move on.
Yeah, so I set up my blog quite soon after I set up the Instagram, and I was the worst blogger in the world because I probably posted maybe once every 2 months. I didn't talk about it anywhere. I didn't really know what I was doing at all. So that grew, and I really enjoy it. I really find it helpful for me, and it's like my little, as many people say, it's my little corner of the internet, and I can write whatever I want to, and it's just amazing that people enjoy it or find it interesting or find it helpful. So it's my little bit of the internet.
I love that. And your blog is awesome. You speak about so many like cool stuff on there, like especially the low histamine recipes. They look so yummy. I'm gonna have to make some of those. Can you tell us a little bit more about what low histamine recipes actually are, and like how does like diet affect someone's health?
So a low histamine diet is something that doctors recommend for some people with certain conditions, such as mast cell activation syndrome and histamine intolerance, and then other mast cell disorders. And it's really important to only do it if your doctor or your dietitian recommends it, because it is restrictive. And obviously, it's better to eat as full a diet as you can. So it's really important to only do it if that's been advised by a medical professional. But in essence, it's just that we are producing too much histamine, or we are unable to clear histamine from our body. So the idea is that we don't eat foods that are high in histamine because we don't want to increase our levels in our body. Yeah. So there are various food lists online that have the histamine content of all different foods. So my recipes follow a specific food list, which is the one that I was recommended by several doctors, and the recipes just use foods that are considered to be low histamine on that list. And when I first had to change that diet, I was just flummoxed. I was like, I don't know how to cook, I don't know how to put recipes together. And it felt like food had gone from this really amazing thing that I loved because I'm such a foodie to this really negative, oh well, I can't have this and I can't have that. So I really hope that with the recipes that it shows that you can still, you know, you don't have to have boring food, and it can still be fun and exciting and flavorful, and you can still eat dessert and, you know, all the good stuff. We all need snacks and treats, and I really hope that they that they fill that kind of gap for people.
Yeah, definitely. And they do. They look absolutely amazing. And they look so healthy as well. They really do. Can you just talk a little bit about what histamine actually is, just for people in case they don't know?
Histamine is a chemical that the body produces, and we all need histamine in a certain amount because it's really helpful for the body in terms of fighting off fighting off things that would kind of be negative to our body. So we need histamine, but the problem is that for some of us, we produce too much of it, and that's where the issue lies.
Okay, is it like an allergy? Is it because like you take it?
Kind of. Kind of.
Hay fever and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
You manage that.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. We'll carry on this conversation with today's guest right after we come back from unveiling something awesome. Enabled Warriors, do you want to win a copy of the Enabled Warrior Symptom Tracker book for free? The Symptom Tracker book will allow you to track your symptoms, instantly spot triggers, and get the best care possible from your doctors. Dr. Gretchen Hawley from the MS Link said it was brilliant for those with chronic illnesses to give their doctors more accurate information. Recording these nuggets of information can be a game changer in receiving the best care for you and your symptoms. Inside the book, you'll find everything that you need to live your best life with chronic illness. Have you ever sat in an appointment and couldn't recall when your symptoms started, how long they lasted, the date of your first relapse, how long you've been on medication? Oh, me too. It's so annoying. That's why I made these pages in the book to help with this. Do you want to find out what foods are triggering your symptoms? Great. That's in the book too. Do you wish that you could wake up feeling positive and energetic every single day? The daily sheets in this book will help you do just that. Enter the giveaway by going to www.mybookgiveaway.com and enter your details through the message on Facebook Messenger that will pop up. If you are impatient and you want one now, then go get your Enabled Warrior Tracker book from www.enabledwarriors.org/book. Both of the links are in the show notes, so go and click them there and get in control of your chronic illness today and start living the life you deserve. Stay Enabled Warriors. Now let's get back to our guest. So you also mentioned that exercise is really important to you as well. Can you tell us why that is and how that affects you?
So I've always loved exercise. I worked as a fitness coach in a gym when I was at university part-time. So I've always loved it. I think it just, for me, it feels brilliant for my body, for my mental health. Like when I go for a run, it feels like freedom. Like I feel really positive when I exercise. Obviously when I was first diagnosed with vestibular migraine, exercise became almost impossible. There were times when I would literally, my pharmacy is down the street from me. It's literally probably a 3-minute walk, if that. And I would sit on my sofa at home thinking, oh, I'll go tomorrow. I can't do it today. I'll go tomorrow. And then I would keep putting it off and off and off because I was so dizzy that just walking down the street was such a massive issue for me. So it was a real shock to go from being really active, and I used to do like charity runs and like I walked a half marathon, and you know, I was quite fit and I worked in a gym, and then all of a sudden I was struggling to walk down the street. And then gradually over time I had physiotherapy and built it up really, really, really slowly to being able to do more. And for me now it feels as though my body sort of throws a lot at me every day, and so when I can exercise, I always have like a really positive view of my body because it's allowing me to move or walk or run or cycle or, you know, do a class, for example. So it feels really, really positive to be able to do that again. And for me, it's brilliant for like switching off from the world and stress, and you put some music on or a podcast and it's just you, and, you know, that's like my little me time, I suppose.
Yes, that's what I used to love about running. I say used to love, I do still run very occasionally, but that's what I used to love about running, just like getting a podcast on or getting an audiobook on and just having that, like you say, just like quiet time. It's really nice. And I think you did it in the right way as well, by building it up like ever so slightly, little by little by little. I think that definitely helps, because it's a daunting thing, isn't it, when you're so overcome with so much fatigue all at the same time. You just think, oh gosh, that's going to take a lot of effort to go and do that, and then you kind of talk yourself out of it, which is a really bad thing to do.
And it's so helpful with some of my conditions as well. So there's a lot of evidence that regular exercise is really helpful for migraine, and it's really helpful for dysautonomia, because one of the symptoms with it for many people is blood pooling. So your blood kind of falls to your feet, so to speak. And so if you can strengthen up the muscles in your legs, that can help sort of counter that symptom a bit. It's both great for my sort of mental health, but also my physical health too.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. And I think moving everything around the body and getting the blood going and stuff, that's always a good thing. That's always a good thing. So you mentioned like chatting about you used to do charity runs and things, but now you're quite involved in charities and organizations now, aren't you? How did you first kind of get involved with all those different companies and organizations?
So there's two associations that I work with. One is a mast cell charity, and I can't give out the name at the moment because we're sort of in early early beginnings of what we're doing. But I'm working with others on their nutrition project, which is great for me because I love food. So we're putting together lots of resources for people to share that hope will eventually become on their website, so it will be like a hub for people to access that information. That came about literally because I was looking at their website and they were asking people if they would share their stories of having a mast cell disorder. So I just emailed them and said that I was happy to share my story. And then it went from there, really. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is VIDA, which is the Vestibular Disorders Association. And I'm one of their patient ambassadors. So trying to raise awareness of vestibular disorders. I have vestibular migraine, but there are many other vestibular disorders as well. So I participate in their awareness weeks and try and help with awareness and recognition. I write blog posts, I do lots of Instagram posts, and just trying to raise awareness, really.
That's awesome. That's really good. That's awesome. And I think when you are a kind of patient advocate and stuff, you want to raise awareness of your different symptoms and things. That's the kind of best way to do it, I think, is to reach out to different charities and organisations, and you kind of help each other kind of grow on your mission, don't you?
Exactly, yeah. And they both have amazing websites that were ones that I went to first when I was looking at my conditions. So it's really amazing to be working with them now.
Yeah, it just feels really weird, I know. So finally, before we go into part three, what advice would you give to people who are newly diagnosed right now?
Oh gosh, so many things. So I would say be your own advocate. That's so important. I found that really difficult to begin with, but I certainly had to learn that I had to be persistent, but also patient. So I had to access the best care for myself, and that wasn't something that I was used to doing. I hadn't been in the healthcare system before, really, so that's really important. And I know a lot of people struggle with that, but if you can find a friend or a family member who could help you out with that, that would be really good, because I know so many people, you know, you're unwell and it's hard to be on Google or, you know, researching and constantly on the phone and sorting that all out. So if you can find someone to help you, that would be really helpful. I would say also, if you feel alone with it, then reach out to other communities. Social media is amazing. You know, Instagram is the place that I find the most helpful, but there's also so many great Facebook groups that you could join. you could even do it anonymously if you're not happy to share your name. You know, you could set up an Instagram account completely anonymously or make up a different name if you want to, and, you know, have a read of other people's posts. And I think that would be so helpful for you to not feel as though you're the only one. And, you know, for me personally, it progressed, so now I have friends and I can literally put up an Instagram story saying, I need a doctor in London who specializes in this. Who would you recommend? And I'll get dozens of replies of people saying, oh, this person is amazing, you need to see this person. Or, you know, maybe not that one, like, I didn't have a great experience. Because I think, as we all know, doctors can look amazing on their CV, but it's that kind of patient care and how they talk to you and how they're supportive of you. And, you know, the bedside manner is really important as well.
Yes.
So that was really helpful for me. And then I think the third thing would be to consider other therapies, you know, aside from medication, if it's appropriate for your condition. So physiotherapy or occupational therapy, psychological therapies. One hospital that I was a patient at, I was able to see a dietitian. That was so helpful. And they also did things like exercise classes for if you had a specific set of conditions. So there would be a qualified physio helping you get back into exercise. And I think all of those things, perhaps people aren't aware that they can access, and it can be tricky to access them, but I personally found them so important alongside medication.
Definitely. And you've like you say, you've got to find what works for you as well. And so it's always worth trying these things. And, you know, if they don't work, then they don't work. But if they do work, then great. You know, you've got another avenue there.
Yeah, that's for sure. Trial and error is such a big thing. You know, even when it, for example, migraine, I went through maybe 5 or 6 different medications until I found the one that worked for me.
Mm.
And, you know, when I was on number 4, I was thinking, I'm never going to find something that helps me.
Yes.
And it's so dispiriting, but you have to kind of be patient and persistent, and, you know, understand that that isn't working for you, and then talk to your doctor and try something new, because there's usually always another option to try.
Yeah, definitely. And it was interesting earlier on what you were saying as well about people advocating for themselves in, you know, like with the doctors and things. And I think a lot of people quite often get quite put off doing that because they think, well, the doctor should know more than I do. And, you know, they know everything. They know all about the medications and stuff. But the thing is, you are the expert of your own body.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the
thing. You know what it's like to actually live with this thing. So it is so important for you to be kind of, you know, sharing that experience as much as possible and to kind of get what's right for you.
I think that finding the right doctor is such an important thing. And, you know, my view is that if I walk out of a medical appointment and I feel dispirited and I feel negative and I feel, you know, kind of a bit hopeless even, that's the wrong doctor.
Totally.
You know, I should walk out of with my cardiologist, I walked out of my first appointment and I had 9 referrals to other doctors. And it was really overwhelming, but it was also so positive because I was like, he's taking me seriously. He's looking at every eventuality, every avenue, every possible associated condition. So although it was overwhelming, I felt really supported. And that's how you should always feel when you walk out of a doctor's appointment. You should feel as though there's a plan to go forward with your healthcare and that that person is going to advocate for you and do the best for you. And it can be a long journey to kind of find that person, but it's so worth it if you do.
1,000,000%. Yes, definitely. That is amazing advice. Thank you so much for sharing such amazing advice with us. Enabled Rose, please join us again in part 3 to catch the final bit of our interview with today's guest. Super quick secrets round coming up. Remember, if you've been affected by any of the issues raised in this episode, then please leave a comment and let us know what it is. And subscribe wherever you're listening so you never miss out on great stories. Warriors listening, if you've enjoyed this episode and you want to win $100, leave a review on Apple Podcasts and tell us what you liked best. We'll choose one review at random each month to win $100. And after you've left your review, remember, go and click that subscribe button. Are you ready to fight back against your chronic illness and go from being disabled to enabled? Do you want to be an enabled warrior? Someone who's brave, strong, and confident, and someone who's ready to find a way to achieve awesome things despite a diagnosis. This is your invitation. Check out disabled2enabled.com for articles and reviews to find out how you can become enabled too. Subscribe to the podcast to always be in the know. If you think this podcast is better than sleeping in on a Sunday, tickle that subscribe or follow button wherever you're listening. And make sure to share this episode with someone who needs some inspiration. Want to ask your questions to future guests? Make sure to join our Enabled Warriors tribe on Facebook and look out for our question posts. Before we go, check out disabled2enabled on Instagram for posts that tell it like it is. And remember, warriors, stay enabled.